This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Good morning, everybody. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. You can tell I've gone back to Death Wish Coffee. My heart is about to explode out of my chest this morning. I'm shot out of a cannon. And I've been up since 2 o'clock, but I feel fantastic. Thank you, Death Wish. Simply the best. Great to be here, Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. What a big show today. I'll be honest with you. It's a weird show. I'll just say it out of the chute. This morning I was making my Death Wish coffee. I looked up at the TV. My beloved wife puts the Ben and Woods program up. It's every morning I walk out and I go, what do we have coming up on the show tomorrow? Because I never know until I see it. And so I go, oh yeah. Huh. Okay. Yeah, it's a weird one. I'm excited. We like to keep it weird here on Ben and Woods this morning. Obviously, a lot to talk about in the baseball world, but let me do some intros here with a fresh face that you may not know here on the Ben and Woods program. I'm Woodsy. That's Paulie. He's the executive producer. You know him. Good morning, Paulie.
How are
you? I'm great. How are you?
Great. I woke up early as well.
To my left is Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor. Good morning, Benjamin.
Good morning. Is there a Death Wish decaf?
No, there's not a Death Wish decaf.
Be able to try at some point.
Mama. Mama. Mama.
Life Wish.
It's yes.
Death Wish decaf.
That's just tea. I think that's just green tea. And then to my right is our buddy Patrick Daly, who has he won the Ben and Woods co-host for a day at the Ben and Woods Open. Great job, Patrick. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, guys. I'm just thrilled to be here. Really appreciate the invite, and I just want to know where the sun is.
Yeah, the sun. Well, you won't see the sun for a while.
Oh,
and it's going to be gray for a while. It's going to look like Birmingham, England for a while. And then by the time we're out of here, buddy, it will break free. Now, again, you won co-host for the day. You get to do whatever you want. So if you can stay, you can sit back, you can do whatever you want. This is your fun day, but we certainly appreciate your bid at the Ben and Woods Open. You won the Ben and Woods basket, and in that basket was co-host for a day. So I've known Patrick a long time, had the pleasure of hanging out with him and his lovely wife, Angie. My wife is obsessed with your wife. You guys are great, great people. We've had such a good time. Now, Patrick sits in the fancy seats down there at Petco Park, so he's seen some S. He has seen and heard some S down there. It's such a fun day.
Wait. We have different viewpoints on what co-host for the day means.
Yeah.
You're saying it's his fun day.
It's his fun day.
He can do whatever he wants.
Right.
I was anticipating just letting Patrick do most of the work.
He can do that, too.
And we sit back what we want while, you know, Patrick sets the menu and take on Patrick. Don't do this. He can interview our guests. And we're just kind of here just making sure everything, you know, stays on the rails.
Like a hall monitor.
Yeah, exactly.
Just relax. Take the morning off. Got this.
We only do that to our enemies. People we don't like. We're like, oh, you think you can do it? Well, go ahead, bud. It's all yours.
It's so easy.
Patrick has never said that. So, yeah, Patrick's in today hanging out. We'll be talking some Padres baseball, certainly. And obviously, it's a huge day. Very exciting finish to the season. But, yeah, we have plenty of time to talk baseball until then. What happened to that shirt right there is what I want to know.
I don't think I folded it properly in the drawer. So it's
when
a
you
little,
oh wow
when
it's a little,
when, all right so
I just washed it. I washed it like 2 days ago and I put it in the drawer.
That's
I folded
what I was
it,
say.
Put it in the drawer, but somehow when
it
I pulled
looks
it out
clean
in the dark this morning, I didn't realize it was like so wrinkly.
When you fold your clothes, you just wad them up in a ball and jam them in
I
a
try
drawer?
Not to, but the see so. Remember,
lay it on me.
So last night, remember we talked in our gold member stream that we're doing an October clean out at our house.
The Higgins family, yeah.
Because all our drawers are overstuffed. We don't have enough room for everything. So doing a big clean out. And part of that is I don't have enough closet / dresser space for all my clothes. So I have my t-shirt drawer. I have some hanging and then I have some in the drawer. This was a drawer. And it's like I'm trying to have to cram everything in just to get
shove it in to get it to fit.
Everything.
You hang
I don't have enough closet
the
space
only
to
shirts
hang everything.
That go in a drawer, I don't leave the house. They're like sleep shirts or something. I don't leave the house in them. Everything Everything hangs.
This is a sleep shirt.
Oh, shirt to sleep in.
Lounge shirt.
Sure, yeah, shirt
to sleep. Lounge around the house.
I thought you meant like a long, like.
Oh, no, just a t-shirt.
With mom in her kerchief and Paul in his cap.
Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah, Little House on the Prairie, long. Bro. Darling, where's my flannel?
Grandpa,
it's long.
Grandpa Joe.
T-shirts, dress shirts, jackets, sweatshirts, pants. Everything gets hung.
Mine too. I don't have one. I do. The only shirts that I have folded are like old baseball jerseys that from like teams I was on. That's
it. I have a plastic bin full of Padres related, like fantasy camp,
merch.
Workout shirts, merch, whatever. That all just goes in one big like Padres bucket. Everything else, everything gets hung.
Drew wants to know, who's the dude? That's Patrick Daly. We just said this. We just introduced this. I can't introduce him every 30 seconds. Patrick is, he won our co-host for the day. And he's going to be hanging out with us today for the entirety of the show. I thought to myself, it looks clean. It doesn't look dirty. It's not, stained or anything.
No, it's definitely clean. It just came out of the laundry 2 days ago.
It's that feeling, though. You ever go and you buy a new shirt? You buy a new shirt, and you're like, man, I bought this shirt so I could wear it tonight. But it has the two little creases in it.
Hannah got me. It's too new.
It's too new. Hannah got me a. So our anniversary was over the weekend, and it was copper and wool was the anniversary. Copper or wool. So she got me a couple of new sweaters and merino wool, and it's really really nice. So I put it on to wear it to dinner, but it had the two little
creases.
Creases. So I had to shove it in the dryer. Dry it out.
Fluff it out.
It worked, yeah.
Now, don't you have the same problem I do, and I assume Paulie does, is that you have to get dressed pretty much in the dark.
No.
No, that's right, because Hannah's already up.
Hannah's been up. She's been up 2 hours.
Well, what about you? Megan doesn't get up before you. She's got to sleep a little bit more.
Yeah. Tuesdays and Wednesdays, she gets up as I'm leaving, so I am still getting dressed.
I'm creeping around.
I've gotten used to it.
In the dark and trying to
use my phone.
Like, look, sometimes I'll look at my phone, but I'm not necessarily looking for wrinkly creases. I'm just making sure the colors sort of match with what I'm wearing.
I got an idea for you. And this is just forward thinking here. So when you get home from work, Channel 10 the night before.
Right. When it's all dark and everyone's asleep.
Everyone's asleep then?
Yeah, usually.
Okay. All right. Before you leave for work.
The day before.
Yeah, 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock in the afternoon. Set out my clothes for tomorrow.
Set out your clothes. Put them in the bathroom, right? You have a little area. Yeah. You have a separate bathroom off your bedroom.
Yep.
Put them in the bathroom. And then you get to go and you get to get dressed at your leisure. I'm not going to get dressed in the dark.
Yeah,
it's tough to have
that much forethought to, while you're getting dressed for one job, also laying out the clothes for the next day.
Easy peasy.
I did the same thing. I'm like, put them in the bathroom, close the bathroom door. So I don't wake up the pugs or
the pugs.
Angie.
If you woke up Angie, now I know Angie, she'll slit your throat.
Yeah.
Like she would. She seems like an early bird, though, to me.
No, I mean, she is because she has to, you know. But, I mean, if we could sleep till 9 o'clock every morning, that would be great. Yeah, but, she has to get up early. The pugs pretty much dictate when we get up.
Now, how many pugs do you have?
We have 5.
I thought kids were a lot of work. The pugs seem to be. Either he's doing too much with his pugs or we're not doing enough with our kids. Yeah. Because it does seem like a tremendous.
We spoil them. They're our kids.
Yeah.
You always hear that. But they're just, we let them do what they want. And we're not like train them how to sit or anything. We just let them be.
It's free
reign. That's it.
Yeah, free reign in the house for
it's cool. It comes with,
comes with a price. With a price.
So it's fun. They're good dogs.
Benny, just have a little bit of forethought. And then, Brandon says, you don't have to look good when you're on the radio.
It used to be. Now we have this whole YouTube stream and everyone can see what I'm wearing. It used to be. Radio, really, when I was getting into the business, was filled with the biggest slobs you will ever encounter in any line of work.
Sweatpants, flip-flops, and
freebie t-shirt. That was the radio uniform.
Flip-flops.
Yeah.
Nothing. Like shorts.
Yeah.
And a wrinkled-ass shirt.
This is my Goat Hill member, I believe, from our Clip Championship from earlier this summer.
If you guys knew how much thigh I am staring at right now. I mean, like, if you knew how much thigh that I'm staring at this morning here on Ben and Woods.
Wow.
Shorts are creeping up.
It's the dolphin, look at that. The old dolphin like shorts right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, dude. Damn. The unit over there, too. Just, man.
It's my better half. It's my lower half. Show it off.
Your lower half could be in... Your lower half should be in... They should cut, like, real buff guys and meld it together with your lower half. You blend the coloring. Like, take a really fit guy, cut you off there. Nothing wrong with your upper half, but you know what I'm saying. Your lower half is elite.
A lot of dudes jealous of Ben's legs.
There's a lot of dudes jealous. And a lot of women would just like to bite right through those calves. Just like a big old turkey leg at the fair. Man, so good, Benji. I don't even know where we're going to go today. We do have several guests. Ben will set the menu for us next. But listen, huge, huge series. It starts tonight.
I heard something about it.
One game at a time.
Yeah, that's all you can do. And tonight is game one. You win game one, then game two is very meaningful. And you win game two, then game three is insanely important.
Look at those legs.
All right, we will set the menu. Ooh. Maybe Patrick will set the menu when we come back. We'll see how much work we can get him to do this morning.
It's true.
It is Ben. It is Woods. It is Paul. It is Patrick. We are here until 10 o'clock today. We'll set the menu next after Kelly's traffic. Good Tuesday morning, everybody. Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
This is exactly what we need right here, the song. Good vibrations, right?
Turn it up, Paulie. Right,
crank it, Paulie.
I'm picking up good vibrations.
Feel it? You know what that instrument's called in the background?
Theremin.
I love it. I got a chance to play it once. It was not easy.
I think we've all got some excitation this morning.
I'm very excitationed.
The Padres magic number update. Pretty easy one today.
Yeah.
It remains at one as the Padres... Mets and Braves did not play yesterday, so one win by the Padres tonight would clinch a nationally wild card at the worst and a playoff berth in 2024.
Okay.
The Padres did pick up a half game on the Arizona Diamondbacks last night, who lost to the San Francisco Giants at Chase Field. Matt Chapman, a little inside the park home run. 6-3 win for the Giants last night. So the Mets now have the second wild card spot to themselves. Three games behind the Padres. The Diamondbacks fall 3.5 games behind the Padres. And then another game and a half to the Atlanta Braves, who open a huge series at home tonight against the New York Mets. Three games. Critical that they win that series to keep their playoff hopes alive.
Who do we all look at as the odd man out now? Because out of the there's three spots for four teams. I'll tell you, man, the more I see of the Arizona Diamondbacks, the more I really hope they make it. And the more I see of the New York Mets, the more I really hope they don't.
So the Mets are playing the best out of everybody left.
No question.
However, they have the toughest week of any team. They're on the road against Atlanta and Milwaukee. Two playoff contenders. Milwaukee's already in. The Braves.
So that doesn't make it necessarily tough.
Not necessarily. It depends on who's resting and who's clinched anything. But they are on the road against good teams. The Braves are at home against the Mets and the Royals, who also are fighting for a playoff spot. The Braves are at least at home. And obviously the Diamondbacks are home against the Giants and the Padres. Now with five games remaining in their season. So that's what's left for the opponents.
It sure feels like the Braves are the one team that's really, like...
They're on life support.
They're looking up.
But, you know, last year they swept the Mets, remember, the last three to win that... Or no, two years ago they swept the Mets the last three. That's what knocked the Mets into that series against the Padres.
Against the Padres, yeah.
That they then eliminated them in the wild card round.
They almost certainly need to win, like, two out of three.
Yeah, they're pretty much required to at least win the series. That would get them within a game and give them the tiebreaker, so they'd have a shot going into the last weekend. They're looking for a sweep, though, just like the Padres are looking for a sweep of the Dodgers this week. Two keeps them alive, but puts them in not in control of their own destiny, just like the Padres wouldn't be if they only took two out of three.
Well, the more we watch, you know, the more it and again, things can change. Don't you know, it's not set in stone, but you know, the home playoff series that the San Diego Padres would get. My question is, who do you want? You know, based on what I watched last night, you know, I'll take my chances against the Diamondbacks. Our co-host Patrick, co-host for a day. You've seen a lot of teams roll through Petco Park this year. You know how these teams are playing. Who would you rather see?
I mean, right now, just how they're playing, the Diamondbacks, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, they don't scare me as much as they did 2 weeks ago.
I guess you qualify this whole conversation with, I'd rather win division and get a bus.
Of course. Yeah, I think that goes unspoken and without said.
There are people out there that would rather keep playing.
I saw someone.
I see the argument from both sides. I think you always take the rest.
Somebody on Twitter just posted something from Facebook that said, we just need to win one game this week and then let's start resting players. And I went, oh boy, that's an interesting strategy. That is not the strategy that I would employ myself.
You don't rest until...
You don't rest until it's clinched.
Win or lose, it does not change your positioning.
I still had guys in my mentions, and I love these guys, and we have a lot of baseball conversations in-game almost every night. You know, they hit me up, what do you think about this move or that? And they said, I don't know, man, we're up four. It was on Saturday night. We're up four. You got to go to Alec Jacob here. And I go, why would you F around even a little bit when you haven't clinched anything? You've not clinched. You clinch, fine. And then you want to start being a little bit more cautious about how you use guys. But, you know, obviously you want to try to win the division, I think, in my opinion. Now, that being said, you also don't go badass crazy trying to win the division, pitching Tanner Scott 5 days in a row or something like ridiculous.
You get to Sunday, and win or lose, you're locked in, you know where you're playing, you know who you're playing, you know what round and all that.
Then let's talk.
I don't want to see anybody in the lineup on Sunday then. Give them one extra day.
Yep.
Get ready for a three-game series and play like there's no tomorrow.
Let's ask the professor.
So with that in mind, coming up in our next segment, when we start our look ahead to the Dodgers series, I have come up with kind of the best and worst case scenarios this week for the Padres. And when I say worst case scenario, I'm kind of talking realistic worst case scenario, because even though they haven't clinched a playoff spot, I find it very hard to figure out how they could still miss the playoffs. Even if they lost all six games this week, I still have the Padres as like 97% chance to get in the playoffs,
yeah,
even if they went 0-6, because there would be so many other games that would need to go exactly right. Like 10 of 11 games would have to fall exactly wrong, plus six losses for the Padres for them not to get into the playoffs. So I kind of, you know, threw out, even though it does exist in the universe somewhere, and if it does, we'll live on that for decades and decades, as the Padres truly are the most cursed team in the history of professional sports if they don't make the playoffs this year. And you know what? Well, we'll just enjoy that and lean into it if that actually does happen. Otherwise, I've kind of got the realistic best and worst case scenarios for you this week for the San Diego Padres, and we can go through those coming up in our next segment, where we'd usually do our Padres wrap-up, but no game yesterday, so a little more forward-thinking this week. 7 o'clock hour, we will have Take on Woods at 7:10. There was a pretty decent Monday Night Football game. It wasn't the one I expected. It was the other one. The Commanders and the Bengals last night was a really good one. Did you watch any of that? That's a no.
Not even going to dignify.
That's a no.
I'm not even going to dignify.
We had it on Channel 10
with a response.
So I kind of had it on at work because it was really good last night.
And we're gonna talk about that?
No. Briefly.
Yeah.
We couldn't just briefly address it in four hours. Commanders.
They did.
Jaden Daniels was really good. Really good last night.
That's great.
There was also a really nice moment in the other game. Don't put it on the rundown, Paulie, if he's going to have this kind of reaction when I just mentioned it. Really.
Maybe I did that because I knew it would get this reaction.
Just staring daggers at my co-host here.
Don't do this at 7:20. And then we've got some guests today, including at 7:35.
Right, this is when I said it was going to be a little weird. It's weird.
I mean,
it's
we've got former Major League Baseball player and now analyst for TBS, Jeff Francoeur, who's going to be on. Padres-Dodgers is actually a national TBS game tonight. I think it's also available locally on Padres.tv with Don and Mudd, pretty sure.
I hope so.
But we've got Jeff Francoeur joining us tonight at 7:35. In our 8 o'clock hour, it is Tuesday. It's an Incorporator Tuesday, the last of the regular season.
Oh, man.
Agler will be with us at 8:35. Patrick, have you come up with an Incorporator word for Jesse yet? You've got 2 hours.
That's your assignment.
Start.
That
you
is
got
my
2 hours.
Assignment.
Yeah.
Right.
Start thinking, co-host for the day.
I'm on it. I'm on it.
That's
good,
definitely
good.
A co-host for the day responsibility
100%.
Is coming up with the incorporator word for Jesse Agler to wrap up the regular season. Rival report at 9 o'clock, and then really going outside the box
Mrs.
for the Bennett Woods program.
Mrs. Woods is elated
at nine,
about our 9:35.
Oh, she'll be on Zoom too. She's going to really like.
Oh,
that.
She's elated.
Was she? Did she go to high school with our 9:35 guest?
I'm not sure. I don't think so. She never mentioned that. But
she did go to LCC,
she
correct?
Did. No
yes.
one loves...
And they're around the same age, so I would think that maybe they crossed paths.
No one loves an Olympian more than Mrs. Woods.
Well,
no
you
one.
Know, on this show, we like to have people who are equal to our own athletic prowess. So we'll be joined by Chase Budinger, the former NBA player turned U.S. Olympic beach volleyball star. They are going to actually be in town at Viejas Arena for a beach volleyball event. But fascinating story where you're at the top of all the way to the top of one profession in the NBA. And then you decide, you know what? Let's go pro in another sport a year later in life and become a beach volleyball star and go
Olympics.
To the Olympics.
Olympics, yes.
Crazy. And represent Team USA in Paris. Just a month and a half ago he was there. So we're going to check in with him on a little off day today, just get his story and how the Olympics went for him and why he's coming to San Diego coming up at 9:35. And if he knew Hannah back in high school.
How old is Chase Bugger?
So I just looked it up. He is 36. Graduated from LCC in
she would, should absolutely know.
So I think they probably did go to school together.
Did they date in high school? And she didn't tell you.
Well, nothing
is it possible.
Nothing would surprise me. I found out on this show that she French kissed Robbie Erlin. I found that out on the show right here. I knew there was a date. I did not know about a French kiss because her husband, father of her children, didn't get a French kiss for like 3 weeks. So very weird. Very weird what you might find out.
But that's Big Game Bob.
That's Big Game Bob.
Right.
Big Game Bald Bob. Bald Big Game.
So we'll see if
bald
there's
game
any
Bob.
Old Hannah Mancaro stories from Chase Budinger.
He's like, hey, Chase, you know my wife Hannah? He's like, oh, yeah.
She is a good cat.
Woo, what a tomcat.
And that will lead us to 10 o'clock. We'll turn things over to Annie and Elston. So that's the menu. It is set. We will come back. We'll look ahead to the Dodgers series, and I've got my scenarios for you. Best and worst case for the Padres this week. Coming up next with Bennett Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. MLB.com's Mike Petriello was ranking the all-time like most impactful Dodgers-Padres series and brings up the one that I was kind of thinking of last night, and that is the last three games of the 1996 season when the Padres were two games behind the Dodgers going into the final three, had to sweep the final weekend at Qualcomm Stadium, and did, getting the big Chris Gwynn two-run double in the 11th inning of a scoreless game to win the division title on the last day of the season.
So, Paulie, crank up the fireplace, because this is pre me being here. I'm just I'm not even a twinkle in your young eye, Ben. At that point, you were in college.
I was in college.
Did you come back for games at all?
Let's see. No, because it was right early in the semester, so I just started, and I remember watching them on television. But the Padres hadn't been to the playoffs since the 1984 season when I went to the World Series, the only time they had been to the playoffs in franchise history at that point.
But you were 9 years old when they went to the playoffs,
yes,
the World Series.
Yes, and I did go to playoff games and one of the World Series games that year.
And our co-host for the day, Patrick, you grew up in Oceanside. Were you at any of those Padres-Dodger games in 96?
I'm sure I was.
Yeah.
I don't remember a
Not
whole
off
lot,
top of
you
your
know,
head.
But there's been, yeah, I mean, we used to go all the time, so I'm sure I was at one of them.
I did come back and go to one of the playoff games in 96 against the Cardinals. They got swept in three in that series.
So that
was a quick exit that year for their return to the playoffs. But to me, that was the most impactful series against the Dodgers. Will this one eclipse it this week? It's not the last three games of the season, but certainly a huge three games to wrap up. Now, the Dodgers did go to the playoffs. They got the wild card, so it wasn't like one team was in, one team was out in 1996.
Out.
So in that sense, this year is going to be kind of the same, where both teams are going to probably be in the playoffs, but you're still battling for a division title. And that back then, there was really no difference between the wild card and the division. You still had to play in the first round. It was still the best of five series. This year, though, a bye could be on the line.
Dodger Stadium, by the way. Not a Qualcomm.
That one was a Dodger Stadium.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right. They played two series, actually, in the end of the year.
End of the year in Dodger Stadium.
One was at Qualcomm, and then one was at Dodger Stadium.
Yep.
But the Padres did nip them at the wire to win the division.
That is bananas. Chris says, guess who came out for three straight days to close out the game? I have a decent guess on who it is.
Number 51.
Number 51, yeah. Trevor Hoffman. Three straight days. Wow.
The GOAT.
The GOAT. Love him. Love him so much. All right, yeah, I mean, the playoffs have been so few and far between that, yeah, it's a pretty special thing when your team makes it in there. And, you know, you look at what these guys got going right now. This is a really, really big one. It's a really big week. And I said it last night. We did our gold member stream last night. And honestly, like Edgar asked a question I was just going to. Who has more pressure right now? Not us. Not us. Not even a long stretch. I mean, there's no pressure on the San Diego Padres right now to win.
I wouldn't say there's no pressure because their goal is to win the division.
Sure.
And,
yes.
You're going to play naturally. You're going to play a little tighter in late September and, of course, in October. But told you guys last night, when you're playing with house money, like nobody
it's
thought
house
the
money.
Padres would be
nobody,
here.
Nobody, man.
Nobody.
And I'll tell you.
In this room, nobody thought that. And that gives you a sense of calmness, I think.
I'll tell you who really didn't think that these games would matter one bit. The LA Dodgers and their fans. I can promise you, this is not one that they looked to in April and said, oh, these are going to be some bangers. No, they expected to be at 105 wins right now, 26 games up. Padres may be duking it out for a wild card, but probably not. I think the pressure's squarely on them.
I think the Padres will certainly come into these games. There'll be some anticipation. I mean, there'll be big games.
Sure, you're excited. They're big.
I think if the series goes on, if the Padres win, the Dodgers get tighter and tighter. Like, tomorrow's even tougher. If the Padres win the first one, the Dodgers feel the pressure that much more tomorrow. And if the Padres win the first two, the Dodgers will be in full-on panic mode by Thursday, knowing that if they lose that game, would lose control of the division.
You see Shohei running out to the bullpen in like the third inning. Nothing would surprise me.
I think the first game, Dodgers will just be like, all right, let's just go do our thing. But if they lose, they're going to get tighter and tighter as this series goes on.
All the pressure is on them.
100%.
Thing, you know, you look at this season and everybody that they picked up, how much money they spent, and I got to think, as a Dodger fan or Dodger fans, probably pretty disappointed with this season.
Yeah.
You know, they're definitely not as dominant as they were hoping. So, yeah, all the pressure is on them for sure.
I think so, squarely on their back. And it's not, you know, Landon Knack's a decent pitcher, but he's not one that strike. It's not Tyler Glasnow and Yamamoto and the rotation that we thought going in to the season. A lot of those guys, you know, have not made it through this season and will not.
I mean, I said this yesterday. Yep. I like every matchup the Padres have in this series. King against Knack today. King has been probably one of the best three or four starting pitchers in baseball for the last 4 months.
No doubt.
Tomorrow, Dylan Cease against Jack Flaherty. Flaherty's been the Dodgers' best starter since the trade deadline, but Cease, his last two starts have been prime Dylan Cease. No one matches up really with prime Dylan Cease if he keeps that going. And then Thursday, it's Joe Musgrove against Walker Buehler. Buehler's really been pretty terrible for the Dodgers trying to get his form back. And Joe, outside of one inning, has been as sharp as we've seen Joe, you know, pretty much in a Padres uniform the last few starts. He's been outstanding. So there's no reason why the Padres don't feel good about every single matchup in this series. I've got the best and worst case scenarios. Just kind of what you can anticipate this week for the Padres. We'll get to those coming up. First, baseball coverage on 97.3 The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You can get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Ben Scenarios right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. So I know what savvy Padres fans are thinking. Ben, best case scenario is pretty obvious. Padres control their own destiny. Just win the last six games. It doesn't matter what anyone else does. You win the division. You get a bye in the first round. And that is absolutely true. But It's not the ultimate best case scenario for the Padres. I can actually make it a little bit better for you if you're really cheering for what you want to see happen this week. Obviously, a best case scenario would be sweeping the Dodgers the next three games, tying them for the division. You've got the tiebreaker. However, with the Diamondbacks losing yesterday against the Giants, if you can go into that last series 4 games up on the Diamondbacks, you're 3.5 up right now. So if you pick up, you win the next three, you're guaranteed to go up 4 at least, because they've already lost one. That means the Diamondbacks would have no chance to catch you. If they've already clinched a playoff spot, like if they win the next two, their incentive in those last three games will be zero. They will have nothing to play for. In fact, they'll probably, they won't tell you this out loud, they'll probably want to lose and fall to the sixth seed so they get the Milwaukee Brewers and not the Padres or the Dodgers in the first round. So they will rest everybody. You will see none of their pitchers. You will probably see a lot of the regular position players sitting in that series. So if the Padres can win these next three, they're not going to face a Diamondbacks team that's clawing and scratching for the playoffs likely. They're going to face one that's like, we're in, we want to rest everybody because we're playing on Tuesday, and guess what? We don't even want to be the fifth seed. We'd rather be the sixth seed and probably go to Milwaukee than have to play the Dodgers or the Padres in the first round.
Yeah.
So that would be a ultimate best case scenario, is to go into that last series. And then you don't, I mean, you still have to win those games, but you're not taking on an opponent that is probably giving it everything. And if you really want to throw it in, if the Dodgers wouldn't mind also then losing a couple times at Coors Field, Padres could clinch by Saturday night if they win all 5 games and the Dodgers lose their next two. That's probably asking too much, but Coors Field is that house of horrors. We'd give you a chance on Sunday to rest everybody up if you wanted to, but you'd have the bye locked up going into the week and knowing you're not playing until Saturday. That's the best, absolute dream scenario for your San Diego Padres. You want to know what the worst case scenario is?
Not particularly.
I know you don't. So what you really don't want to see happen is the Diamondbacks picking up 2 games on the Padres the next couple of days. They're 3.5 back. Padres, if they, you know, got swept, the Diamondbacks lost their next two, they would be 1 game back. That would mean that all the Diamondbacks would need to do is win the series against the Padres. If they go in 1 game down and they take 2 of 3, they tie the Padres at the end of the season, and they will have the tiebreaker 7-6 by virtue of winning that series and the season series, which would knock the Padres out of hosting the wild card.
That
and then
be,
they would likely
be terrible.
They'd likely have to stay in Arizona and play Arizona, or have to fly to New York and play the Mets right after Sunday's game in Arizona without any time to rest. You've probably used all your, you know, high leverage pitchers to try to win those games against the Diamondbacks, and you will have 1 travel day or 1 day just remaining in Arizona to try to get reset for now a road postseason series.
Well, it's a great exercise to do, certainly, but it all changes after 1 game tonight, right? Like everything really kind of changes, and you also have to see what the Diamondbacks do. The Giants are 6-1, I think, on their road trip right now. They did win again last night. Diamondbacks did not look great in their loss. So I just, you know, it all changes. And the beauty is, you're not begging the Giants, please take care of the Diamondbacks or we're not going to make it. Please, Phillies beat the Mets or we're not going to make it, or Mets, Braves, whatever. Like, you don't really have to sweat it that much if you're a San Diego Padres fan. Sure, there are scenarios that would be better than others, but to know that you control, if you win every game, you win the West, is pretty cool. I mean, I didn't think we'd be in that position sitting here today, that if you win the rest of your games, man, you are the Western Division champions in the NL, which is nuts.
And as people are pointing out, and it is true, if the Padres win out and the Phillies lose at least 3 more, Padres could still get the number 1 seed,
which is
overall in the playoffs.
Home
field advantage all the way to the World Series.
So that ring, that brass ring, is right in front of these guys. And if they handle business and they play the way that they've played recently, I'm fairly confident it can happen. You know,
I agree.
Yeah, it's just going to be, it's so exciting that we're in this position.
But again, you have to win the first one to make the next one really important, and then you have to win that one to make the next one even more important. Again, if the Padres drop a couple of games this week, which is absolutely possible. It's a road trip against two playoff teams, the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks. No one can expect or be disappointed if they don't go 6-0. You know, that's a dream, best-case scenario. There's still, you know, play for that home field advantage in the first round. You only need a couple of wins likely to lock that up all week long. And then you could, the kind of the second best scenario, if you don't win the division against the Dodgers, you could still wrap up the Diamondback series by Friday and then have Saturday and Sunday if you wanted to rest some people, get your bullpen ready, Monday off, and then come back strong on Tuesday with everybody raring to go at 100% in a home game against probably either the Diamondbacks or the Mets at Petco Park in the wild card series. That's probably the more realistic best case scenario for the Padres, but I still, you know, reach for the brass ring, go for what you can this week. There's no reason not to. At this point, you're going for it as much as you can. You can reevaluate later in the week if, you know, circumstances change and you look like you're going for the wild card. Then you may start thinking about, all right, who do we want to rest? Who do we want to, you know, be careful with setting up our playoff rotation, making sure it's all good to go? But those are Ben's scenarios for the week,
and making sure your bullpen is fresh. And I know that there's this misconception that the more rest that guys get in the bullpen, the better. It's just, I don't know that it doesn't always work that way. You guys need to get in. They need to stay sharp, and the way you stay sharp is by playing baseball and executing in high leverage situations. That's how Tanner Scott stays sharp.
You don't want any of your high leverage guys to go Friday, Saturday, and Sunday,
correct,
and then have to go again for a fourth time in 5 days on Tuesday.
100%.
You certainly don't mind if you're using Adam, Scott, Suarez, you know, once over that weekend to keep them just locked in, but have plenty rested and ready for a potential Tuesday game.
Yeah, no doubt. It's again, I do not envy Mike Schilt in the next week at all. Not even a little bit.
I think the bullpen set up pretty good, you know, where it's not just three guys we're relying on. There's five guys that, you know, can come in and high leverage.
You got Ass, and you got Morihone,
and Estrada.
And you got Estrada.
Our bullpen probably going into this is probably set up the best. So we're in good shape.
And then you got guys that, you know, if a game does get out of hand either way, that you're like, all right. I mean, Yuki hasn't pitched in, I think it's been like 2 weeks since he's thrown a baseball in a big league game. So I there's a couple of different things too. I mean, maybe Sean Reynolds comes back up. Alec Jacob's still down there. He hasn't gotten a ton of work. Like, there's still things that need to be done. But again, when you talk about, we're all sitting on our couches going, well, obviously it's clear what you do. No, it's going to change day by day, inning by inning, pitch by pitch, what Mike Schilt needs to do or what he thinks is the best move for the team. And I think you really have no choice but to trust that they're prepared. I mean, we asked him last week, you know, how do you prepare? He goes, I prepare in April the same way as I prepare in September. So you just kind of trust your preparation. But I don't envy him at all. I mean, not even a little bit. That would be the worst. This would be such a gnarly week to have to manage. Playoffs is, honestly, like, not that the playoffs is easier, but in the playoffs, you're like, yeah, I went to Tanner Scott. He's the best pitcher I have. He didn't get the job done. We lost the game. Right, whatever. Like, that's what you do.
At the end of the day, the players have to
execute. Yeah, and at the end of the day in the playoffs, you make strong moves. You make moves with guys you trust, guys that you've seen, guys that you know can get the job done. Doesn't always work out in your favor. So it's not an enviable task this week.
The other big games tonight, 4:20, the Mets at the Braves. That's Luis Severino against Spencer Schwellenbach in that one.
I saw yesterday, is there like a hurricane rolling through Georgia right now? Did you see this?
Florida, definitely.
Florida?
Which is right next to Georgia. So, you know, weather could be a factor in that series. And then the Giants-Diamondbacks matchup tonight. Logan Webb for the Giants. Brandon Pfaadt for the Diamondbacks. That's a 6:40 start. Of course, Padres play the latest game possible at 7:10 tonight against the Dodgers. So you might want to have some of that Death Watch coffee.
Death Wish
coffee on hand tonight.
That'll
so you
be ready.
Stay up.
It'll be ready.
Padres do have to win tonight.
To clinch.
A Braves or Mets loss does not change anything.
It helps you, but you need both. I know people say that if there's a three-way tie, I still think the Padres could lose a three-way tie. So you need both of them to lose once if you're not going to win again. Only one can lose tonight since they're playing each other. So I still believe the only way the Padres clinch a playoff spot tonight is by winning. But they could win eventually a playoff spot without winning a day or two later. But tonight, I think they still have to win to clinch a playoff spot and reduce that magic number to zero.
Go get that dub.
Get that dub.
Yeah. All right, when we come back, what would maybe be the funniest thing ever, there's a soon-to-be-retiring Padres nightmare who could actually help them big time in his final three games of the of his career, if you saw the announcement yesterday. Talk about that, play a little take on Woods. When we come back, hour number two of the show, next on 97.3 The Fan.